flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, here we go, here we go. Good Saturday afternoon and another Saturday afternoon. Welcome to Right at Home with Rich. I'm your host, Rich Orris, and we have some awesome information lined up for you today with my guest designer from Mosby Building Arts, Shannon Cross. We're going to team up today to talk to you about room additions. So if you have any questions about room additions, maybe designing them, building them, or anything in between, or anything around your entire home, feel free to give us a call. Any questions you may have, 314-241-9797 or 866-455-9797. And the plan today is to cover just some of the most common types of room additions, their benefits, how they can help you, how to figure out the right type of addition that will suit your needs. Very important topic right there. And if you're considering adding on to your home, we can also touch on the forever rising cost of room additions. We'll have some information about that. So you'll want to get that addition going right away after you hear this, I guarantee you. And as always, halfway through the show, find out if you're driving your neighbors nuts. Yes, you heard me right. Today, stay tuned. My hack halfway through the show, you can find out if you're driving your neighbors nuts. So stay tuned for that. And you can also give myself and Shannon a call for any advice on any designing work, any work around your home, or like I said, room additions. We'll have a lot of information on that. The numbers you need, 314-241-9797. Or 866-455-9797. So I say we jump right into this thing with Shannon and get things started. Shannon, are you on the line with us today?
I am. Good morning.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I am wonderful. I'm kind of glad the rain hasn't hit yet, at least where I am. And of course, we're all still kind of separate, you know, doing our things over the internet, over phone, getting together remotely, you know.
Yeah.
The, things are moving, things are opening up, but we're also trying to keep that stuff safe and keep everybody, you know, just as social distance as possible. So it's awesome that we have the opportunities to still do this with all the technology today and still get together and, you know, be able to have some great conversations like this on the air. So so today, Shannon, you know, talking about room additions, designing room additions, you know, all those great topics we're going to have, I would like to kind of just start out for some of the newer listeners or people that probably haven't heard you. I've had you on a few times, several times before, but just a little background. What do you do at Mosby and, you know, things like that, and how can you help people out?
Sure. So I've been in the industry for about 20 years now, and I have a bachelor's degree in interior design and have done all different types of remodeling projects and been at Mosby for 3 or 4 years now. So I do design work, but also home consulting like you do. So I kind of cover the basis of meeting with people, talking through what their dreams and projects are, and then helping them guide through design and all of the stages through installation to create that new space.
Yeah, and something, you know, a little bit later on as we go through everything, I'd like to get into a little bit is, you know, how we work at Mosby, kind of how we educate people, train people, help people, you know, in their positions and what they do and stuff like that, because I'm guessing you probably didn't do a whole lot with additions and exterior stuff and, you know, things like that prior to coming, you know, to Mosby and doing design work and everything with us, right?
Not as much, definitely. I had one company I worked for, I dealt with it a little bit, but definitely more in depth at Mosby, and I love being able to do all different realms of projects.
Yeah, absolutely. And so a little bit later, we could get into kind of that whole team aspect at Mosby and how that really helps develop and learn and understand and, you know, gets people being able to just do so much more and understand so much more. It really is kind of a, you know, great thing that we've been doing for an awfully long time. So, but I would like to kind of start off here with just, you know, some of the common types of room additions. You know, what are what are some of the types of additions that you see yourself working on? And can you just explain a few of these different types to the listeners?
Sure. There's so many different versions out there. You know, a few common ones that we see all the time is adding a second story to a home. So building up, if you don't have room on the lot to go back or sideways, ground floor room additions, so building out, different spaces like for family rooms or living rooms, kitchens, expanding the kitchen into a space and a hearth room, sunrooms and screen rooms, four season rooms. That's a big one. We get a lot of people with that just need that extra entertaining space. And so they want as much light as possible. So having a lot of windows, doors, that kind of thing. And then a master suite is actually another big one that we get a lot of interest in, where they're wanting to live in the house longer. And so maybe adding that space to the main floor versus going upstairs and creating that master suite on the main floor is a big one as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, the master suite is probably the most common thing that I see, you know, a lot of, you know, here at Mosby, as far as people wanting to add that bedroom, you know, whether they're in a two-story, they want to add a bedroom and a bathroom off the first floor, or they just need more space. So getting them into, you know, their own area allows room for more kids and stuff. And I do have one where we just measured last week and we're just starting the design on. She, with her master suite area, she is looking for that window thing. She's looking for, she has a lot of plants and she brings them in the winter and she takes them out, you know, in the spring and the summer and fall and stuff. And so she wants an area of this room, you know, kind of off the side of it, off the living room, to just really have a lot of windows and be able to pull all these plants in off the deck and stuff like that to keep them year round and bring them in and out. And, you know, So that sun thing is definitely bringing light in is a big thing also. So, what do you think, you know, some of the major benefits are, you know, in building an addition on an existing home?
I would say the majority of the time it's for people to increase their indoor living space. All different reasons, of course, like we mentioned, the master suite, you know, not wanting to go upstairs to be able to live in the house longer. Sometimes they need more space because families combine. They either have in-laws moving in, or I had a scenario a few years ago. The adult children actually were moving into the parents' home because they had health issues and they were becoming their caregivers, and they needed more space. So I would say that is what I see a lot as the main reason. And then sometimes when families entertain at their home a lot, they, you know, I come from a big family. I have 25 cousins. And so sometimes needing that space for when you entertain, just to have that space to set up tables and sit around and enjoy each other. So I would say those are kind of the top reasons I see.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do. I have one in the next couple weeks that it's an exact story you were talking about. The parents the adult children are going to plan to move in with the mother, and then their child, the grandchild, is 16, so they want to look at adding on a master suite with some accessibility, but they also want to look at doing some of the basement for that 16-year-old daughter to be able to be there and live there with them through college. So a lot of combined living and all that stuff for sure, you know, going on. So, but it's time to get into our first break. But when we return, we can kind of touch on, you know, figuring out what type of additions really fit people's needs and how we go about that process and figuring that out. And for anyone else out there, you got a question, you got a comment, you got anything for us, feel free to give us a call, 314-241-9797, and we'll be right back. All right, we are back. We are live right now, right at home with Rich. I have guest Mosby, building arts designer Shannon Cross, on the line with me. We are talking room additions, and I wanted to throw something else out there too for anyone. If you have a question about any of that, if you have a question about really anything about your house, feel free to give us a call, 314-241-9797. But the other thing I wanted to kind of throw out there is I wanted to talk a little bit later in the show about some cost of, you know, something that might help you kind of figure out the direction and, you know, what some of this stuff might actually kind of cost to build around St. Louis, around the country, things like that. So we've got some information on that. And I also have some information on a room addition that my in-laws had built. It was in 1978. They put a room addition on their house. It had a brick fireplace, wood-burning fireplace, just a big like living room addition, adding living space onto the house. And when we talk about that cost versus value, I want to touch on, you know, how these costs go up over the years and how, you know, they're never really going down. So if anyone out there has a guess on what they would think a room addition might have cost in 1978, I would love to hear from you, and maybe we could have a little fun and a little conversation with it. Feel free to give me a call, 314-241-9797. Give your guess, and let's see how close some people can get to the cost of a room addition back then. So, but for now, Shannon, are you still on the line there with me?
I'm here.
Awesome. So did you kind of, what do you think about the 1978 room addition? Do you have any thoughts or any guess on maybe what you think something like that might have cost?
That's a good question.
That's a long time ago, wasn't it?
It was the year before I was born, yeah.
I could tell people some of this stuff to give them a little clue too. So the house was built, it was built in the mid like 60s or early 60s. It cost $14,000 to build the house. They bought it. They bought it in early 70s, like 71 or something like that, for $18,000. So it's amazing the cost. And I have clients all the time that are like, man, that's more than I bought this house for. I'm like, well, how long have you lived here? You know, well, I've been here 30 years. Well, of course it is, you know. So,
my number would have been way off of hearing that now.
I have I also have a friend of mine that built his own house in like the 60s. He's kind of a trim cabinet maker guy, has his own shop, been working on different cabinets and trims and different things for years and years. And I was talking to him one day, and we had a couple cabinets that he built, some cabinets for us that cost $4,000. And he was telling me about how his first home he built, a 3-bedroom ranch home in the 60s, like probably 61 or something, and all the materials for the house barely cost over $3,000, all of them.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So things have changed. They've changed quite a bit. So, I'd love to have some fun with this with some people. And if there's anybody out there who does this or just has a wild guess, you know, wants to see if they can figure this out, again, feel free to give us a call, 314-241-9797. But what I'd like to kind of touch on right now is, you know, kind of that Mosby process. You know, we go in, we meet, we're, you know, talking about the projects people want, you know, trying, really working to be advisors on projects more so than order takers, what I call. But so can you kind of just describe for everybody, you know, how you figure out like the best type of addition for someone's needs? What all would go into that?
Well, it's a process. You know, it's a big project, and what we strive, as you know, at Mosby to be different on is really just going in and asking a lot of questions and listening and really feeling out what they're currently lacking, if it's space or if there's family moving in or, you know, whatever the scenario, but really just asking a lot of questions to figure out what that right solution might be. And also the other things we try and keep in mind, as you know, is the property value and the land and the lot, you know, leaving that balance of yard versus home. There's a lot of different factors involved in that, and thinking how it attaches to the home, of the location, and also all of the logistics and mechanics involved. Making sure it looks like it's been part of the home versus an add-on, those types of things that we kind of dive into to really help them think through what that right fit might be.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, because there's tons of times, you know, we'll get into, you know, what they think they need versus what they're really after, like the needs they're trying to fill. And, you know, some people are like, wow, you know, just assumed if I needed more bedroom space and I was adding on to the second floor, I'd have to just make it a full 2-story or use the whole space, and maybe half the space would work and you can still make it look good from the outside. Or there's so many, you know, things like that, you know, can help and really open people's eyes up and everything, you know, to what they can get and what would really actually help them, you know, let the pros help figure that stuff out. But, you know, so in looking at, you know, adding on and really people getting what they want in the home that they have, what do you really see that are some of the reasons that people, you know, want to add on as opposed to moving? Because that's always like the common thing. Well, I'll just move or I'll, you know, and it's like, so why do people add on?
You know, and those are conversations we get into because some people are torn on, do I move or do I stay and invest in the home? But, and that's where, again, we ask a lot of questions to find out, A lot of times why they stay and invest in a home is they either love the neighborhood or the area that they're in. Location is huge. We all know that. location. And sometimes it's, you know, the kids' schools. They don't want to leave those or their friends, that type of thing, of staying in the area. Or they live near family that they hang out with often. And, you know, a big thing we help people think through on the other side of not only the personal reasons you might stay is just the cost difference. Of a lot of people don't realize how much is involved to move once you, you know, plan for movers, and you always have to do some remodeling on the existing home that you're selling and on the new home and all of these different things, to where there's a huge price ticket to moving in general.
Yeah. And trying to find everything that they're after in the new home becomes very hard, and you can kind of get everything you want and your whole dream when adding on like that. So we got to get into our center hard break here right now. So we will get more into this when we return. All right, we are back. We are live here halfway through the show, right at home with Rich. You know what that means, right? My right at home hack. I got hopefully a really helpful one today, because, you know, you got to admit, we all have quirky things that we do that we ourselves probably don't even notice, but our neighbors might. So today I have a short list of compiled of a few things that, you know, you could be doing that drive your neighbors nuts. So something worth thinking about for sure. And, you know, number one on the list is leaving seasonal decorations up too long. If you're spreading weed and feed out in your lawn and your mailbox has a Santa hat on it still, or your holiday lights are still hanging from your roof, you might be driving a few of your neighbors a little crazy. Letting old paint get really old, ratty, chipping, peeling, that is another really big one that, you know, even if you're in an old historic home, you know, it still could decrease the value of the neighborhood. People might be getting ready to put their houses on the market, and it's just better for everyone if you can really keep that maintenance up, keep things looking nice. Another one in the paint category is ugly paint colors or crazy paint colors. So the only thing worse than like chipping, peeling, fading is really the wrong color. And, you know, crazy colors, you're down by the beach, you're on an island home or something, works really well there, but could be pretty unwelcome, you know, in normal neighborhoods. So another big one is leaving your pets outside. So if your dog is chained up in the yard day and night, or if you leave that pet outside while you're gone all the time, it could be barking the whole time that you're not there. You know, I would suggest ask your neighbors if your dog's well behaved while you're gone, if it's outside, or, you know, maybe put up a camera in your backyard so you can find out, you know, how that's going. And last but not least, and the one that really affects us is, you know, if your house is constantly under construction or big renovations, you know, going too long, taking too long, that can really drive your neighbors a little batty. If you know, that's why it's so important to have a game plan, make sure everything goes accordingly. You know, you should have an end date that you could give everyone and say, hey, this is the plan and this is what we're thinking. And it'll help people, you know, deal with that. And of course, this is another reason to make sure you hire a really good, trusted, quality company like Mosby Building Arts. So, and for everyone out there, there are 20 items on this list from Family Handyman. So you can find the entire link later this week in my social media. On Facebook, you can find me at Rich Orris Mosby or at Rich Orris for Twitter, and you can get to all my past hacks that I've done. You can find the information in the links and some information on this one. So I invite everybody to check that out a little later, maybe midweek this week. So, and for everybody on Facebook Live here, feel free, if you have any questions or comments about this, call into 97.1 and get on the conversation with us, 314-241-9797. So I'm going to get back into some of the the normal stuff back here on the show again with Shannon. Shannon, are you still with us?
I'm here, yes.
So what do you think about driving your neighbors a little nutty? Might be if you're doing more than two things on that list, it might be worth thinking about renting an apartment or something, and just really, right?
There you go.
And there is things that, you know, you just don't even think of that, you know, kind of can either bring down the value a little bit or just make it not so, you know, appealing. Another one on there that I really liked, and I hate dishes, you know, satellite dishes on roofs, but you see the houses where, you know, people don't live in their houses as long. They're constantly changing, selling. People change the TV services, and they end up with, you know, three satellite dishes on the roof because no one wants to touch the other one. And, you know, all the neighbors might be like, man, get all that stuff down. Like, that looks crazy. You know, are you using three satellite dishes? But so, yeah, there's a lot of that to think about and, you know, talk to your neighbors about and just kind of, you know, make sure that everything's on the up and up, because you might not be realizing what you're doing to people, you know. So years ago, Shannon, when we were in our first starter home out in Florissant, we watched the two neighbors behind us just fight back and forth over the downspout drain pipe that the one neighbor put on his downspout, and he left this pipe on the surface of the ground, but he went straight sideways towards the neighbor's house.
So
the neighbor goes out and he moves it and angles it more towards the backyard. And so then that guy cuts his grass and moves it back. And they did this three or four times. And then the other neighbor shows up with a shovel and buries it.
Oh my God.
Towards the backyard in his neighbor's yard. And I'm thinking, I wonder if he talked to him about that. A good conversation might have been better than just, but, you know, but that's the kind of stuff that can really drive people crazy, you know, that you're like, don't dump water towards me, you know. But yeah. I definitely invite people, talk to your neighbors, have conversations about this stuff. And you know, they're probably, you know, more understanding than you think, for sure. But speaking in that of, you know, the construction going on too long, you know, how do you feel that our process, the Mosby process, can really prevent, you know, jobs like room additions and things like that from, you know, passing over their expected timelines?
Well, we have many steps that we try and, you know, prevent that from happening, where Mosby, majority of the work we do is done by Mosby employees, because we're design build. So, you know, 70% to 80% of the work is done by our employees. So we can control the schedule quite a bit more, in that regard of maneuvering our team, of where we need to put them and whatnot. Also, we wait to start a project till everything is in. So it's not waiting on products in the middle of a project when it's already torn out or halfway through and something happens. So I think that makes a huge difference of waiting till everything is in. So the downtime of when we're in their home is as tight as we can control with the level of the project in that regard. But I think those are a few things that we do in general to really keep that on track.
Yeah, no, there is a ton of stuff. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, that we do that I really like that I've seen differently working years ago for many other companies and stuff, but, you know, having a bunch of the materials delivered to our office, having, you know, the large area in the warehouse to bring in, you know, kitchen cabinets and, you know, all sorts of different products like that. We can stage everything for a kitchen or a bathroom or something like that at our office. And, you know, in the faith of not driving your neighbors nuts, you know, that limits the deliveries that we need from all these different companies to where I had a client not too long ago that I was talking about that with them, and they said, oh yeah. And they told me about how, you know, they had a plumbing, you know, warehouse company show up. No one was there for the project, and they set the bathtub right in front of the garage door, three-car garage. They said, oh, we'll put it here. Well, it was her bay, and she couldn't get out to take her child to school. And she's like, so you won't deliver a bathtub in front of my garage door? And I'm like, absolutely not. You know, we would either be there, or we have all that delivered to our office, and then we can put it in a box truck and we bring it when we need it. And wow, you know, how nice is that? So less delivery trucks on their streets, you know, everything else is just, you know, we have so many different things like that. I'd love to stress to everybody, you know, that we do in order to just make that service so much better and really exceptional, you know. But, you know, talking about, I'd like to get in real quick and go over a couple of these cost things, because so the Remodeling Magazine does a study every year called Cost Versus Value. And I looked up Master Suite editions because we see so many of them. And I did go to like the upscaled version. But so in our area, Remodeling Magazine figures the average cost of a Master Suite edition to be $269,000. When I go up to the East Coast, it's $292,000. And when you go to the West Coast and you hit California and all right, we are back. We are live here halfway through the show, right at home with Rich. You know what that means, right? My right at home hack. I got hopefully a really helpful one today, because, you know, you got to admit, we all have quirky things that we do that we ourselves probably don't even notice, but our neighbors might. So today I have a short list of compiled of a few things that, you know, you could be doing that drive your neighbors nuts. So something worth thinking about for sure. And, you know, number one on the list is leaving seasonal decorations up too long. If you're spreading weed and feed out in your lawn and your mailbox has a Santa hat on it still, or your holiday lights are still hanging from your roof, you might be driving a few of your neighbors a little crazy. Letting old paint get really old, ratty, chipping, peeling, that is another really big one that, you know, even if you're in an old historic home, you know, it still could decrease the value of the neighborhood. People might be getting ready to put their houses on the market, and it's just better for everyone if you can really keep that maintenance up, keep things looking nice. Another one in the paint category is ugly paint colors or crazy paint colors. So the only thing worse than like chipping, peeling, fading is really the wrong color. And, you know, crazy colors, you're down by the beach, you're on an island home or something, works really well there, but could be pretty unwelcome, you know, in normal neighborhoods. So another big one is leaving your pets outside. So if your dog is chained up in the yard day and night, or if you leave that pet outside while you're gone all the time, it could be barking the whole time that you're not there. You know, I would suggest ask your neighbors if your dog's well behaved while you're gone, if it's outside, or, you know, maybe put up a camera in your backyard so you can find out, you know, how that's going. And last but not least, and the one that really affects us is, you know, if your house is constantly under construction or big renovations, you know, going too long, taking too long, that can really drive your neighbors a little batty. You know, that's why it's so important to have a game plan, make sure everything goes accordingly. You know, you should have an end date that you could give everyone and say, hey, this is the plan and this is what we're thinking. And it'll help people, you know, deal with that. And of course, this is another reason to make sure you hire a really good, trusted, quality company like Mosby Building Arts. So, and for everyone out there, there are 20 items on this list from Family Handyman. So you can find the entire link later this week in my social media. On Facebook, you can find me at Rich Orris Mosby or at Rich Orris for Twitter, and you can get to all my past hacks that I've done. You can find the information in the links and some information on this one. So I invite everybody to check that out a little later, maybe midweek this week. So, and for everybody on Facebook Live here, feel free, if you have any questions or comments about this, call into 97.1 and get on the conversation with us, 314-241-9797. So I'm going to get back into some of the normal stuff back here on the show again with Shannon. Shannon, are you still with us?
I'm here, yes.
So what do you think about driving your neighbors a little nutty? Might be if you're doing more than two things on that list, it might be worth thinking about renting an apartment or something, and just really, right?
There you go. That's a good way to look at it.
And you know, and there is things that you know you just don't even think of that you know kind of can either bring down the value a little bit or just make it not so, you know, appealing. Another one on there that I really liked, and I hate dishes, you know, satellite dishes on roofs. Mm-hmm. But you see the houses where, you know, people don't live in their houses as long. They're constantly changing, selling. People change the TV services, and they end up with, you know, three satellite dishes on the roof because no one wants to touch the other one. And, you know, all the neighbors might be like, man, get all that stuff down. Like, that looks crazy. You know, are you using three satellite dishes? But so, yeah, there's a lot of that to think about and, you know, talk to your neighbors about and just kind of, you know, make sure that everything's on the up and up because you might not be realizing what you're doing mm-hmm. to people, you know. So years ago, Shannon, when we were in our first starter home out in Florissant, we watched the two neighbors behind us just fight back and forth over the downspout drain pipe that the one neighbor put on his downspout, and he left his pipe on the surface of the ground, but he went straight sideways towards the neighbor's house.
So
the neighbor goes out and he moves it and angles it more towards the backyard. And so then that guy cuts his grass and moves it back. And they did this three or four times. And then the other neighbor shows up with a shovel and buries it.
Oh my God.
Towards the backyard in his neighbor's yard. And I'm thinking, I wonder if he talked to him about that. A good conversation might have been better than just, but, you know, but that's the kind of stuff that can really drive people crazy, you know, that you're like, don't dump water towards me, you know. But yeah. I definitely invite people, talk to your neighbors, have conversations about this stuff. And you know, they're probably, you know, more understanding than you think for sure. But speaking in that of, you know, the construction going on too long, you know, how do you feel that our process, the Mosby process, can really prevent, you know, jobs like room additions and things like that from, you know, passing over their expected timelines?
Well, we have many steps that we try and, you know, prevent that from happening, where Mosby, majority of the work we do is done by Mosby employees. Because we're design build. So, 70 to 80% of the work is done by our employees. So we can control the schedule quite a bit more in that regard of maneuvering our team of where we need to put them and whatnot. Also, we wait to start a project till everything is in. So it's not waiting on products in the middle of a project when it's already torn out or halfway through and something happens. So I think that makes a huge difference of waiting till everything is in. So the downtime of when we're in their home is as tight as we can control with the level of the project in that regard. But I think those are a few things that we do in general to really keep that on track.
Yeah, no, there is a ton of stuff. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, that we do that I really like that I've seen differently working years ago for many other companies and stuff, but, you know, having a bunch of the materials delivered to our office, having, you know, the large mm-hmm. area in the warehouse to bring in, you know, kitchen cabinets and, you know, all sorts of different products like that. We can stage everything for a kitchen or a bathroom or something like that at our office. And, you know, in the faith of not driving your neighbors nuts, you know, that limits the deliveries that we need from all these different companies to where I had a client not too long ago that I was talking about that with them, and they said, oh yeah. And they told me about how, you know, they had a plumbing, you know, warehouse company show up. No one was there for the project, and they mm-hmm. set the bathtub right in front of the garage door, 3-car garage. They said, oh, we'll put it here. Well, it was her bay, and she couldn't get out to take her child to school. And she's like, so you won't deliver a bathtub in front of my garage door? And I'm like, absolutely not. You know, we would either be there, or we have all that delivered to our office, and then we can put it in a box truck and we bring it when we need it. And wow, you know, how nice is that? So less delivery trucks on their streets, you know, everything else is just, you know, we have so many different things like that. I'd love to stress mm-hmm. to everybody, you know, that we do in order to just make that service so much better and really exceptional, you know. But, you know, talking about, I'd like to get in real quick and go over a couple of these cost things, the Remodeling Magazine does a study every year called Cost Versus Value. And I looked up Master Suite editions because we see so many of them. And I did go to like the upscaled version. But so in our area, Remodeling Magazine figures the average cost of a Master Suite edition to be $269,000. When I go up to the East Coast, it's $292,000. And when you go to the West Coast and you hit California and Oregon and all that stuff up that way, it's $325,000 for an upscaled Master Suite edition. Mm-hmm. And the return on investments are not great. You know what I mean? It's definitely, you're doing some of this because you love it, because you want it. You know, they're hovering around half your money, 40% to 50%. In 2005, the same upscale Master Suite edition was $137,000 and had an 80% return on investment. So you can see how times have changed. Things have really escalated. And the reason to start these projects right away is, you know, tremendous on a dollar aspect. Don't wait 5 years, especially with interest being so low. You know, it will probably go up more than the interest you'd ever pay on something like that. But so we got to get into our last break here. But when we return, I want to get into this my in-laws room addition that they did and the cost of that and everything in comparison to what we just heard. So stick with us. We'll be right back. If you got a guess for that amount before I let it out there, give us a call, 314-241-9797. All right, we are back. We are in the final segment. If you have any questions for me or Shannon, anything about your home, anything going on around your house, or maybe about an addition that you've done or that you're thinking of doing, feel free to give us a call, 314-241-9797. We've got just about enough time to get a call in if you have a question. And but for now, Shannon, what I really want to get into is I want to finish that up with that addition, because, you know, we heard all those numbers and facts and everything on, you know, what Master Suite additions could run today, you know, what it was in 2005, which is a considerable difference. And the one thing I did want to note for everybody is this is an average. That means truly some are going to be higher, some are going to be somewhat lower. It depends so much on the company that you choose and the methods they use and the people they use, and is it their own employees? So, you know, looking at that addition that my in-laws did, So another little factor in there is, you know, the person they hired, it was a one-man company. He kind of did his own work. He literally built this thing himself. He did bring in a mason to do the brickwork around the fireplace and everything, and that was the only other person that he even had perform any of this project. It took him about 5 months or so to build it. Basically, ground up foundation and everything from himself. But in 1978, this room addition was $8,000.
Wow. That's crazy.
Don't you wish you could, if we could just go back for a little bit.
Yeah.
But, wow. I'm sure it was, you know, a decent price for the time because of the one-man show. We talk about that, you know, at Mosby all the time. Do you have your own employees? Are you subbing everything out? There's all these factors that, you know, not only change the cost, but change the level of service and the experience, you know, that the client's getting, you know, in getting it done and, you know, getting it built. So, you know, the thing I would ask you is, you know, how do you feel that having a team with you, you know, really helps the building experience for the client, you know, in the end through that entire process?
It creates such a different experience for our clients. You know, I've been in the industry 20 years and everywhere else I've worked was a much smaller scenario and they subcontracted and all different things. But we have such a benchmark of knowledge that we can go to anyone. We have architects on staff. We have myself and others that are designers on staff. We have a licensed electrician, licensed plumber, you know, master craftsmen of all different trades on staff. And so we all can go to each other and we're such a team environment of helping the client find the right solution. And just like you said, that experience they go through of, I hear my clients say day in, day out after a project is completed that they saw the flow and the process and enjoyed that there was a process because they knew what was coming next and they knew to trust whoever the next part was being handed to, like the tile installer or whoever. So I just think we're more collaborative and work together being a team versus everyone being an independent trade type of scenario to where I at least hear our clients' feedback that they enjoyed the process because we have one. And
yeah,
versus just kind of winging it and backstepping when they need to, trying to do it on their own kind of a thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I, you know, I've come from other industries like that too, you know, other companies in the industry that, you know, basically didn't have the processes. And I've seen firsthand trying to work with people, you know, just how it can get and how things can be wrong. And, you know, there's so many of them, like double checking orders, having that project manager, you know, even come out and remeasure a door that I measured and put the project together, but maybe I made a mistake. Maybe I was thinking of a different house and did something, you know, and even though I was a project manager and I did all this, having that process to back up so our warehouse isn't full of old doors and cabinets that don't fit mm-hmm. in houses and things like that. So we are running out of time here. I do want to thank you for coming on and taking some time out of your Saturday to join us here for this hour. I really appreciate it. And
my pleasure. It's been fun. Thank you.
And for everybody out there listening, again, I invite you and I invite you to think about, you know, what you deserve. What, you know, let the return on investment go a little bit and think about the future and how you'll enjoy it and what you're really getting out of it. And, you know, make your house what you want. Make it so that it never felt so good. Give us a call at Mosby Building Arts, 314-909-1800, and we can help you with that. It's time to go. Everybody, appreciate it. Have a good week. I'll talk to you next week. All right, we are back. We are in the final segment. If you have any questions for me or Shannon, anything about your home, anything going on around your house, or maybe about an addition that you've done or that you're thinking of doing, feel free to give us a call, 314-241-9797. We've got just about enough time to get a call in if you have a question. And but for now, Shannon, what I really want to get into is I want to finish that up with that addition, because, you know, we heard all those numbers and facts and everything on, you know, what Master Suite additions could run today, you know, what it was in 2005, which is a considerable difference. And the one thing I did want to note for everybody is this is an average. That means truly some are going to be higher, some are going to be somewhat lower. It depends so much on the company that you choose and the methods they use and the people they use, and is it their own employees? So, you know, looking at that addition that my in-laws did, so another little factor in there is, you know, the person they hired, it was a one-man company. He kind of did his own work. He literally built this thing himself. He did bring in a mason to do the brickwork around the fireplace and everything, and that was the only other person that he even had perform any of this project. It took him about 5 months or so to build it. Basically, ground up foundation and everything from himself. But in 1978, this room addition was $8,000.
Wow. Crazy.
Don't you wish you could, if we could just go back for a little bit.
Yeah.
But, wow. I'm sure it was, you know, a decent price for the time because of the one-man show. We talk about that, you know, at Mosby all the time. Do you have your own employees? Are you subbing everything out? There's all these factors that, you know, not only change the cost, but change the level of service and the experience, you know, that the client's getting, you know, in getting it done and, you know, getting it built. So, you know, the thing I would ask you is, you know, how do you feel that having a team with you, you know, really helps the building experience for the client, you know, in the end through that entire process?
It creates such a different experience for our clients. You know, I've been in the industry 20 years, and everywhere else I've worked was a much smaller scenario, and they subcontracted and all different things. But we have such a benchmark of knowledge that we can go to anyone. We have architects on staff. We have myself and others that are designers on staff. We have a licensed electrician, licensed plumber, you know, master craftsmen of all different trades on staff. And so we all can go to each other, and we're such a team environment of helping the client find the right solution. And just like you said, that experience they go through of, I hear my clients say day in, day out after a project is completed that they saw the flow and the process and enjoyed that there was a process because they knew what was coming next, and they knew to trust whoever the next part was being handed to, like the tile installer or whoever. So I just think we're more collaborative and work together being a team versus everyone being an independent trade type of scenario, to where I at least hear our clients' feedback that they enjoyed the process because we have one. And then
yeah,
versus just kind of winging it and backstepping when they need to, trying to do it on their own kind of a thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I, you know, I've come from other industries like that too, you know, other companies in the industry that, you know, basically didn't have the processes. And I've seen firsthand trying to work with people, you know, just how it can get and how things can be wrong. And, you know, there's so many of them, like double checking orders, having that project manager, you know, even come out and remeasure a door that I measured and put the project together, but maybe I made a mistake. Maybe I was thinking of a different house and did something, you know, and even though I was a project manager and I did all this, having that process to back up, So our warehouse isn't full of old doors and cabinets that don't fit in houses and things like that. So we are running out of time here. I do want to thank you for coming on and taking some time out of your Saturday to join us here for this hour. I really appreciate it. And
my pleasure. It's been fun. Thank you.
And for everybody out there listening, I invite you, and I invite you to think about, you know, what you deserve. What, you know, let the return on investment go a little bit and think about the future and how you'll enjoy it and what you're really getting out of it. And, you know, make your house what you want. Make it so that it never felt so good. Give us a call at Mosby Building Arts, 314-909-1800, and we can help you with that. It's time to go. Everybody, appreciate it. Have a good week. I'll talk to you next week.